Stewardship is partnership with God. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us about stewarding God's resources.
We've got to seek first the kingdom of God. And the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's a stewardship promise that if we're faithful to him, he's faithful to us. You cannot outgive God. And the stewardship promise I want you to remember, very simple. If God takes care of ravens, God will take care of you.
Stewardship is an act of worship, an expression of faith, and a discipline for spiritual growth. In our series, The Stewardship Principles of Jesus, Pastor Chappell shows us how to steward the resources God has entrusted in our care. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Many Christians find it difficult to practice generosity. Today, we invite you to journey with Jesus through Scripture to see the reasons for giving, the discipline of giving, and the motivation of giving. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called The Stewardship Dilemma.
Well, last week we learned about a farmer, and this farmer had been to some financial planning classes, apparently, because this farmer had learned the principle that they always teach in financial planning classes, and that is to pay yourself when?
First.
Pay yourself first. That's what they always say. Pay yourself first. And this guy was worked up about it. He was worried about it. The Bible says in verse 18 that he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And so that's kind of how it goes. You go to a financial planning class and you hear this talk about how to prepare for the future, and they say, pay yourself first. Automatic deduction is best. Make sure you pay yourself first and then get it in the right barns, get it in the right investment tools, get the right 401k, whatever the case might be. But pay yourself first, and then as this man said, one day, verse number 19, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And so everyone seems to kind of follow that pattern and kind of waiting until later in life when they can eat, drink, and be merry. And that's this guy's kind of way of thinking. I'm going to pay myself first. I'm going to be wise about this. I'm going to build barns, keep all my stuff in there. And when the time comes, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. And most of us would look at a guy like that and we go, wow, that guy's smart. Whoa, look at what he has, look at what he drives, look at where he lives. This guy paid himself first and he did well for himself. One problem, God comes to him in verse number 20 and says unto him, thou, what does he say? Thou fool. Now, I don't know about you, there's a lot of things I'd like God to say to me, but one of them is not, thou fool. And he says, thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. He says, you're about to leave planet Earth. What good are all those barns then? Right? He says, you've been foolish. And notice what he says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, the rich farmer was worried because he had so much and he didn't know exactly how to invest and where to put it. But Jesus, in the passage before us this morning, is going to talk to his disciples who didn't think they had enough. And one of the things you'll find when you study people and finances is that everybody seems to worry about finances. People with a lot of stuff, people with not very much stuff. People with a lot of stuff have to worry about how to keep it, how to park it, how to invest it. People with not too much stuff have to worry about, why don't I have more stuff? But everybody kind of seems to worry about stuff. And here this morning we see that these disciples were going to have to learn that following Jesus would require faith, but that faith was always going to be tested. And for many of you, learning about tithing or giving to a special offering is, it's more than just learning, it's actually testing you. It's testing your ability to trust God. And Jesus understood that as he spoke to these disciples and as he speaks to us through the Word of God today. And what we're going to learn about stewardship this morning is that true security is found not in the amount of funds you amass. It is found only in your relationship with Jesus Christ. True security is found in Him. Now, there's going to be three lessons we're going to learn this morning. First, we're going to gain a stewardship perspective. We're going to get a perspective on life and on stewardship from Jesus this morning. Secondly, we're going to gain a stewardship promise. A stewardship promise that Jesus gives everyone who believes in Him. And finally, He's going to give us a stewardship plan. He's going to tell us how to follow after His will concerning finances. And so, if you're ready, get your notes out, get your heart ready. How many of you are ready to go this morning? All right, here we go. All right, number one, a stewardship perspective. What's the perspective Jesus wants us to have? Look at verse 22 of our text. And He said unto His disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. Now, the first perspective that we need in this study is a perspective of trust. A perspective of trust. Jesus wants us to refrain from worry. I already told you, people that have little worry, people that have much worry. If you agree with that, nod at me, all right? Some of you say, well, I'm in the middle. Do you worry? Yes, go ahead and nod. I know you do, all right. Everybody worries about these things sometimes at least. But Jesus says something I want you to catch here with me. And notice it in verse 22. It's just a little phrase and it says, take no thought. All right, would you say that with me? Take no thought. Now, does that mean that Christianity is a mindless religion? No. Does it mean we're anti-intellectualism? No. The word take no thought, the words take no thought mean to be anxious or troubled with cares. I have a little card in my desk, and it's under the glass on my desk, and it just says, take no thought. Because sometimes when perhaps there's a lot of pressures that mount, or there's a lot of things that could stress me out and I worry about, I put that in my desk just to remember what Jesus said. Don't get anxious about this stuff. Take no thought. Did you know that the English word for worry comes from an Anglo-Saxon word, which means to strangle? Now, I don't know how it is with you, but when I'm worried about something or really filled out with stress, I can't function real well. Somebody can say, what's your oldest daughter's name? And I'll say, Bob. I can't really answer well the basic things because stress sometimes strangles my ability to think real well. When I'm worried about stuff, I don't think real well. And so Jesus says, hey, calm down for a minute. Take no thought. George Mueller said, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. So what I've learned is this, fear will cancel out faith, but faith will cancel out fear. So what most of us need today is not more to worry about, most of us need to increase in our faith toward God today. Okay, that's why Jesus says, take no thought. He's not saying that you should not have possessions. He's just saying, stop all this worrying about whether we're going to have enough. Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. In other words, when tomorrow gets here, I'll give you your daily bread. But right now, let's not ruin today by worrying about tomorrow. Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. How many of you ever heard that song? Great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. How many of you remember that song? There'll be an extra offering after church for that rendition of it just for you today. I love that song. Great is thy faithfulness. How many of you believe He's a faithful God? Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. I heard about a husband that went to his wife. He was a bit exasperated with her. She was a worrier. He said, why are you always worrying? It doesn't do any good. She said, oh yes, it does. 90% of what I worry about never happens. That was her logic. Okay. Now, God says, take no thought. And God wants us to remember that He's in control. God is in control. Amen. Verse 25, look what it says. Which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? Okay. How many of you think if I sit here and worry and worry and worry enough, I could be as tall as Shaquille O'Neal? It's not going to happen. None of us through thinking and none of us through worrying are going to make something happen that's going to be better. So God says, first of all, when it comes to stewardship, I want you to learn how to trust. Secondly, I want you to have a perspective of purpose, of purpose. You see, a lot more than getting ready for an offering is happening at Lancaster Baptist Church right now. Right now, God's trying to teach us how to trust Him. And right now, God's trying to teach us that life has a greater purpose than we sometimes realize. Now, look at verse 23. This is what it says. For life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. All right, that's simple this morning, but let's say it together. Ready, begin. For life is more than meat. The word more means life is greater in quality. Life is more important than what you eat and what you wear. Life is more important than what you accumulate. And get a perspective on this. Do you see, the financial planner says this is what you need to do. Pay yourself first. And then the television commercial says this is what you need to do. You need to own this and you need to live there. And when you have this car and when you have this and this, then you are a very significant person. That's what the world says. But Jesus says life is more than just what you have. Life is not just about what you possess. It's greater than food and money and clothing. Now, many people today in America are in search of significance. Some people know it, some people don't know it. And they try to find significance in many different ways. And some people feel that if they have the right certain things, then they're really significant. Or if they know certain people, or if they're able to accomplish certain things, and they're searching for significance. And it starts when we're young. Teenagers, for example, they don't want just any kind of shoes. They want certain brand names of shoes because they want their friends to think that they're cool. Young people have been taught by commercials, you don't want to wear just any t-shirt. You want an American Eagle t-shirt. You don't want just any shoes. You want Nike shoes. And how many of you parents who've had teenagers know what I'm talking about right now? There's a little pressure like that. It's a significance pressure. The world asks, how much does a man own? And Jesus asks, how is he using what he owns? That's what stewardship is, because God is the owner and we are the what? The steward or the manager. It's not my stuff, it's his stuff. And so we need to get this morning a stewardship perspective. And here's the perspective. Trust God and remember, life is not about how much stuff you have. Now, the Bible is not that difficult. If you're with me so far, say amen. Amen. All right, good. Just kind of teaching this morning. Notice, secondly, a stewardship promise. A stewardship promise. Notice this with me, if you would, verse 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Now notice what Jesus is telling us here. Jesus is giving us a stewardship promise, and the promise very simply is this. God will provide for you. All right? God will provide. And he says, I'm going to provide reasonably for you. God will provide reasonably. It's just logical to think about this. Notice how he says it in verse 24. Kind of an interesting phrase. He goes, consider the ravens. All right, let's say that together. Consider, just kind of throws that out. I don't know if one landed over here or if there was a raven taking his pita bread right at that moment. I don't know what was going on, why he said, consider the raven. But he says, I want you to think about the ravens for just a moment. Now, I don't know about you, but the raven is not my favorite bird. I like a lot of birds. I like toucans. I like sparrows and, you know, canaries. But I'm not a big fan of ravens. Ravens, to me, are sort of an obnoxious bird, frankly. In fact, if I was God, I would let them starve. Ravens bug me. I'm telling you, I've seen some ravens. They can carry full trash bags, cars, little kids. They can just... They mess up the trash at my house. Ravens know how to get the lid off, get the trash out, and spread it all over. I mean, they can eat a rat in the desert or a rabbit on the road. I mean, and they are very well fed. They're very, very well fed birds. And Jesus says, consider the raven. So consider this raven for a second here, and you'll get the idea. He's not wanting, right? He's going to have some potato chips for a mid-afternoon snack. Then he's going to come to my house and get the good stuff, right? So Jesus says, when it comes to this matter of his providing, if I provide for the raven, how much more do you mean to me? He says, consider the raven. You say, this is not a very deep message. These are the words of Jesus this morning. Consider the raven. Psalm 147, verse 9. He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. And so we see that there is a reasonable provision for people who trust in the Lord. Notice verse 27. It says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Consider the lilies, how they grow and how they're dressed, and God takes care of them. So God will provide reasonably. And then I want you to see also God will provide bountifully for us. God will provide bountifully. Verse number 28, notice what it says there. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And so we see that God will always take care of his people. Galatians 6, 7, it says it this way. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also what? Reap. And my friends, you cannot outgive God. To the church at Philippi, which supported missionaries. The Bible says in Philippians 4, 19, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Because Jesus says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure and pressed down and running over shall men give into your bosoms. And I believe this, if I take care of God's business, he'll take care of our business. Amen. We've got to seek first the kingdom of God. And the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's a stewardship promise that if we're faithful to him, he's faithful to us. You cannot outgive God. It's like the pastor that was talking to the farmer one day, and the farmer was giving his testimony about giving, and he was shoveling some grain, and as he shoveled the grain, he said, preacher, it's kind of like this. He said, I shovel it out, God shovels it in. I shovel it out, God shovels it in. And then he said, and preacher, God has a bigger shovel than I do. You cannot outgive God. And so the stewardship perspective that I want you to see is you can trust him. And it's not all about accumulation. It's all about stewardship. And the stewardship promise I want you to remember, very simple. If God takes care of ravens, and if God takes care of the grass in the field, God will take care of you, my friend. Then notice thirdly this morning, a stewardship plan. Now somebody might be here this morning and you might say, okay, I get the perspective, trust God. I understand the promise. God will take care of me. But how does that come into a practical plan? Well, notice if you would, in verse number 29, once again, what the Bible says here. And it says, and seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful of mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Now notice that phrase in verse 29, neither be ye doubtful in mind. Now, when it comes to stewarding God's principles and God's resources that he's given to you, the first thing I want you to jot down is to plan in faith. Don't be doubtful of mind. Oftentimes, the devil wants us to doubt and wonder whether we can give. God says, plan in faith. Now, let's just think about this logically for just a moment. How many of you believe that you have been saved by faith? How many of you are Christians this morning been saved by faith? All right? And the Bible is very clear that salvation is a gift of God. For by grace are you saved, by faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. So if you are saved, then you have received the grace of God. Now let me tell you something about myself. What I deserve for all of eternity is not heaven. I deserve hell because I'm a sinner. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ what? Died for us. So God is gracious in letting the sinner off. We are saved by grace. How many of you are thankful for grace this morning? How many of you are glad you're not going to get what you deserve? Okay. Because what I deserve is not heaven, all right? Because I'm a sinner. I'm fallen. But God graciously offers salvation. But then it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. So a man, a woman, a boy or girl, hearing about God's gracious provision, must then believe on Jesus Christ. And by faith we are saved, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, why is it that we can put our faith in Jesus for eternity, but we can't put our faith in Jesus for tomorrow? You see. And we've got to learn to plan in faith. Why is it that you can trust Jesus with your eternal soul's keeping, but not with your finances? And we've got to learn to plan in faith. And so we're saved by faith, but we must live by faith. Now, what we try to do, instead of living by faith and trusting God and being faithful in giving, what we try to do is kind of figure things out and finagle things out our own way. One spring, there was a little boy, 3 or 4 years old, helping his grandpa put fertilizer out on the front lawn. They were fertilizing the lawn, and after a while, they stopped, and grandpa gave his grandson, Douglas, 2 quarters, and they were looking at the lawn, and grandpa said, "Well, Douglas, what do you think?" Douglas looked at the lawn, he looked at the 2 quarters, he said, "I think we need to do it again." From an early age, we're always kind of scheming. How can I get 25 cents more? How can I work this out? But you see, it's not about scheming, it's about trusting. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. And the more passionate your faith, the more consistent your giving. Because your faith in God will reflect in the way that you give to God. I remember in 1988, we came to Lancaster in 1986. And as we came here in 1988, we had our very first stewardship event. And it was called Giving by Faith. And I remember that year so well as we got started and we had seen some good growth in 1988. And we were running out of room. We had 30 parking spots downtown and we didn't have any property. We didn't have any floor plans. And I said, "Folks, I don't know a lot. I'm still in my 20s here, just getting going in the ministry. But I know this, we're running out of room." And I said, "Folks, we're going to need more room." And I said, "I want to challenge you to let's give by faith. We don't even know what we're giving to except the building fund by faith." I think 20 families gathered together in that old auditorium. And we had a special message, sang some songs, and passed the offering plate. And that day, those 20 families gave $50,000 by faith. A few days later, the first 20 acres, God's given us now 100 acres, but the first 20 acres came available. I saw it over here on the corner. I called the realtor. He said, "Pastor," he said, "it is available, but I just have to tell you, if you want to put it in escrow, there's a $50,000 escrow required." I said, "No problem." You know why it was no problem? Because we'd walked by faith. God is pleased, Hebrews tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So we must plan in faith. Secondly, we must learn to plan in sequence. Now, notice verse 31. "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." God does not mind the fact that we have things, that we make plans, but He just says, "Look, it, can I just be first in your life?" The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." It's not that God doesn't want you to have your house. It's not that God doesn't want you to have some savings. It's not that God doesn't want you to have your skateboard or your motorcycle, though He may not want you to have those things. The fact is, God wants to bless you. He just says, let's put the sequence right. Seek first the kingdom of God. He wants to be first in your life. "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." God says, "I want you to remember me every week in the first place. Seek Him first." And God says, "I will provide for you." When Terry and I came to Lancaster in 1986, we were saving at that time as a young couple to buy a home. We had $6,000 or $7,000 that we had saved up, and we were looking forward to buying a home. And we came down here and preached. And Lancaster, listen, there wasn't a lot of curb appeal then. I'm telling you, there was one Walmart, one McDonald's. That was about it. Lots of jackrabbits. And the people said, "We want you to come." And I can't tell you why, but the Lord began to work on my heart. And I remember driving to the north that next day and telling my wife, "Honey, I just can't get this off my heart. I know that community is going to grow. I just feel like they need a strong, non-compromising, soul-winning Baptist church there."
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering a book from Dr. Chappell entitled, Strengthen Your Hands, How Godly Leaders Remain Strong in the Work of the Lord. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this resource for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.